The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday Hump Day Trump Day Hangover Edition. A happier hour, Dom, although I'd be happier still if our eagerly anticipated guests were here.
He'll get there. He'll get here eventually. Earl are going to join us at some point, hopefully, this hour. Crudy, Trump hangover. I mean, you did the dirty
and
work yesterday. Appreciate
John Nichols that. From The Nation also supposed to join us at 4:30, so we're going to have jam-packed hour.
Lord, up with goodness, baby. So thank you for doing that, Crudy. We promise our audience we're not going to play any Donald Trump today.
Are we sure? You never can tell.
Is that one of our commandments? Thou shalt not play Donald Trump. Thou shalt do too much reading aloud on the radio.
Thou shalt not force the audience to eat too much broccoli. They'll regurgitate the broccoli down.
Yes, exactly. We love our audience.
More of a guideline than a commandment in this case.
Well, it's a suggestion.
So, Dom, here's where I would like to start the 4 o'clock hour. It is Juneteenth, and we will acknowledge that with Earl shortly. He spent his earlier part of the day in Baraboo, Wisconsin, but now it's like Typhoon Earl coming down the road here in downtown Madison right now, so maybe a weather delay. But here's what will be quite interesting. You know, the RNC is just around the corner, Dom. We are trying to put together our final broadcast plans for the big event. And one interesting note, the old man, the Cheeto Messiah, the nominee, well, they, the Republicans, the RNC, well, they're making a plan so he can attend the RNC convention from jail, Dom.
With technology today, and enough, you know, enough dollars in your pocket, you can do a lot of things.
He has sentencing for the 34 felony convictions on July 11th. The big convention in Milwaukee starts on July 15th. That's a Monday. And the Republican National Committee, at least the co-chair, Laura Trump, she's the first daughter-in-law, Dom. Well, she admitted that her party has a plan to nominate Donald Trump at the convention, even if he's in jail or faces other type of confinement. Now, would that be something like Hannibal Lecter? You know, like the face mask and the constraints.
Face mask on the dolly.
They roll him out on a dolly.
Oh, he's a big fan of Hannibal Lecter and not a big fan of the Sharks.
During a Wednesday interview on the Real America's Voice, host Terrence Bates asked Laura Trump what would happen if New York Justice Juan Merchan ordered her father-in-law to be incarcerated, you know, at the sentencing on July 11th. And the thing that comes to mind is the fact that the Judge Juan Merchan could very well sentence President Trump to jail or some sort of prison time, not allowing him to be there for the Republican National Convention, which is a major concern. Here's the bottom line. Laura Trump replied, "It doesn't matter whether Donald Trump is in Trump Tower, Mar-a-Lago, or anywhere else. They may try to put him."
May try to put him? I mean, pretty much if the judge says that, he's probably going to go, right? Unless you're acknowledging that Trump would be resistance to a lawful sentence from the judge upon conviction.
On the day that we, as the Republican Party, will be nominating him as our official candidate or our official nominee for president, he will accept that no matter where he is. Yeah. What if he's in the hole? What if he's in solitary confinement?
Right. He gets in, he freaks out, you know, attacks a guard, bites somebody. You know, he's not in any shape. You got to throw him in the hole for 24 hours. So, he can't hurt himself or other people. He just may not be available. I mean, it's very possible Donald Trump would not respond positively to that type of confinement.
Laura Trump says he will be our candidate all the way to November 5th when he is reelected as our 47th president. She argued that Trump's 34 felony convictions were not a negative for him because it resulted in increased fundraising.
I mean, this is totally great, you guys. This is positive. I mean, look at the press. No one sees anything like it. I got the biggest.
She literally did say that, Dom. I think everybody can see it's been a positive for him, she said. People in this country see what's going on with this. This is how third world and communist. They always throw out communist like it's a catch-all. Communist. Third world and communist it is, and they do not want to see this as the future of America. Well, he'll be there from a holding cell, from the hole, from cell block C. Donald Trump will be your Republican nominee. So say the daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, Tom. So she says. Sort of a hell or high water kind of situation, I guess. 844-967-2789. We got some fine guests this hour, at least expecting some. We got Earl Ingram Jr. from the Earl Ingram Show. We got John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times, Dom. And as we mentioned earlier, and we'd like your participation on this little exercise, 10 commandments are now the law of the land in the state of Louisiana. They must be published in each classroom in specific fonts and clearly, and we have decided, we, the devil's advocates, the only authority that really matters, have decided that we want your suggestions for possible commandments, because if God gets commandments, Dom wants his crack at it. So we have come up with a, pardon me, God's trying to strike down my vocal cords as I try to speak to you fine people, but we have a few possible devil's advocates commandments, Dom.
Review them, Crudy. Let's start from the beginning.
I've thrown a few out there. Okay. And if you're just joining us, you've already broken the first commandment. Thou shall listen to the devil's advocates 3 hours every day. Where have you been? Number two, and I've only got like a handful, 6, 7, 12, 14, something like that. You know, we'll make it a round number at some point. Because I told you, my high school football coach only liked even numbers.
Even numbers.
Number two, thou shalt not swear on the radio. But again, that's not our commandment. That's more of an FCC thing. Number three, thou shalt not covet your co-host wife. Number four, thou shalt not shoot me in the face, which you have threatened to do at least one drunken night. Sort of in the thou shalt not kill Crudy category, as far as I'm concerned. Number five, after two puffs, thou must pass. Just making sure I've accounted for most of what I've got here. Here's a few more. Thou shalt bring Crudy food when he's hangry. I mean, I've needed this a few times during my professional broadcast career. You know, I've been
and
a little
hangry
on the air.
And the miracle has occurred. I mean, food has arisen.
Oh, those cookies. It was like manna from heaven that day. Cookies followed me around the great state of Wisconsin. They popped up in Eau Claire. They popped up at the station. Those were good days. Those cookie days. Filled with cookies. Sweet, sweet audience-given cookies. They followed the commandments.
Don't be gluttonous.
Here's another devil's advocate's commandment. Thou must go to the debate watch party at the Barrymore Theater June 27th, next Thursday. Now, it's a one-time only commandment, but you got to do it. It's free. Doesn't cost you nothing, although we encourage you to bring some money for the cash bar. And, you know,
prefer tithing at 10 or 15%, you know, whatever you can do.
Well, so come on down. The greatest presidential debate of your lifetime watch party, Devil's Advocates panel, Discussion with Maggie Dawn starts at 7, debate at 8. Again, it's free. It's free, cash bar, though. You know, there will be expenses, but it won't be the admission. And then, Dom, here's another one I thought of. Thou shall tithe loose joints. Right? You know, I mean, in most major organized religions, it includes a little payoff to the man upstairs. The big guy is.
I mean, there's incense, and depending on the religion, there is, you know, the introduction of different mind-altering substances.
I think you've been smoking some frankincense and myrrh back there, Dom. I'm just saying, tithing, I think it's always appreciated and something of a commandment. Loose
first
joints.
Church of cannabis, man. This is old school. This is very common. So, yes, tithing of the loose joints.
Do you remember when there was a Church of Cannabis here in Madison? And I went down to this illegal marijuana dispensary down here in my hometown. It was sort of an encouraging thing because, of course, cannabis is not a legal product unless you get the Delta 8 that our friends down at the HerbalAspect.com sell. But at that time, this was not the legal stuff. This was illegal under both state and federal law. And these Rastafarian Church of Cannabis people had this place over by Mifflin Street. So I went in there and, you know, just to see if they would accept my tithing, Tom, and they did. Yes. And then they gave me a blessing in a baggie. You know, as the best blessings come, they come in baggies. Or glass
bottles.
You got
to appreciate and love the varied and fine different expressions of faith that we embrace in this country.
They did have the little sacrament cookies, body of Christ. So I bought one of those for the missus because, you know, she's more into the edible
Jesus. The edible body of Christ versus the drinking of the blood of the body of Christ.
Something like that, yes.
All right, gotcha.
Dom, we got some fine guests coming soon. Earl tells me he's 5 blocks away. It's like a typhoon out there, Earl. It could still be half an hour for all I know, but hopefully our pal Earl Ingram joining soon. Then after that, John Nichols from The Nation magazine. It's a hump day. It's a Trump Day hangover edition. And you can be a part. 844-967-2789. Here's a new one. My next commandment for the devil's advocates. Thou shall not play Laura Trump on these radio airwaves. You've just chased 98% of our audience out.
No, no.
More devil's advocates.
Why don't you love our audience?
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we're back for the 420 break. We're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the line, talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dom, I've been joined by an eagerly anticipated guest. He is Earl Ingram from The Earl Ingram Show, here to celebrate the Juneteenth. Welcome, Earl. How you been, man?
Man, I'm doing fine, man. The studio reminds me of Brady Street.
You can put our whole station in Brady Street in this studio, Earl. Hey, Earl, man, there were a number of times, you know, back when we operated off Brady Street, WRD, back in the Resistance radio days. Earl calls me up one year, says, "Hey, Crudy, I want to go do a Juneteenth broadcast, a live broadcast." I said, "Okay, let's do it." So Earl and I hop in the car, and I'm like driving him, you know, driving Miss Daisy over here. And Earl is literally in the back seat with the headphones on. We got the travel gear, and we were broadcasting. Earl, we did that parade a couple different years. Milwaukee is one of the only cities in the nation that has continuously celebrated Juneteenth. And here's the contrast. Here in Madison, I heard Dom's girl Vicky McKenna start her show today complaining about the fact there were only 3 people down at the iHeart because apparently they'd given them Juneteenth off, and why would we celebrate a holiday of such? And then she did acknowledge that Milwaukee did celebrate Juneteenth. And Earl, I'm going to ask you to tell the audience briefly what that means. But she was like outraged that you know, there weren't people down in the sales office selling stuff on Juneteenth. How dare they?
Well, 50 years of Juneteenth in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is the largest Juneteenth celebration in the nation, the longest running Juneteenth celebration in the nation. 475 vendors at Juneteenth Day in Milwaukee today. 20,000 people or more at the Juneteenth Day celebration. Crudy, you've seen it. And as far as Vicky McKenna and others not understanding and people who ask the question, why are you having that? The 4th of July is Independence Day, and all of us should celebrate that. Well, you know, people who don't know the history is, you know, it was 1865 before the true independence happened for black people in this country. And so, you know, it's unbelievable that people don't know the history. And at the time that this is all taking place, Crudy and Dominic's critical race theory, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Maybe Vicky McKenna needs some diversity, equity, and inclusion training. You think she's capable of inculcating
that? She's Caucasian something, but let me ask you this, Cyril. You chose to spend this Juneteenth, not in your home Milwaukee, but in Baraboo, Wisconsin, a community that's had some recent racial issues. A superintendent of schools was accosted during the graduation recently. They had some prior history with some of the school kids doing the Nazi salute at the state capitol, I believe it was. Earl, what was your experience today in Baraboo?
So, man, you're talking about a guy who is a city guy and who doesn't venture outside of the city. And so I was invited to do the first Juneteenth Day celebration in Baraboo. And I didn't give it a second thought. I told them I absolutely would be there. I thought it was important that I would show up and support them in what they were attempting to do. I will tell you that I had never been to Baraboo, and I told the mayor of Baraboo that I would be going back to Baraboo. I'm going to bring my family. And we had a great time. The people were great. And at the root of all of these things, man, is misunderstandings and people not knowing one another. I had never been to Baraboo, but that ended today. And in the next couple of weeks, I'm going back. I was at a lake there. What is that lake called, Creedy?
Well, Lake Delton, perhaps, but I think you're probably talking about Devil's Lake.
Yeah, Devil's Lake. Is you kind of co-owners, Devils and Devil's Lake?
No, we have no ownership there. We do have our list of commandments.
Beautiful, though, Earl. I wish we did,
man. Man, a beautiful, beautiful lake, man. Absolutely beautiful. The people were spectacular. And for a city guy like me to get a chance to see all of that, I actually was climbing. There's a rock formation or whatever it was, and Todd and I were climbing up the rock formation.
Todd tell you about rattlesnakes, Earl?
No, I didn't. But we were going up the rock formation, and you know, man, I want to go back and do all of that.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio. Our dear friend Earl Ingram Jr. from the Earl Ingram Jr. Show joining us. Earl, was there any reporting of the difficulties going on in Baraboo over the years? I did see some articles and some reporting of some of the locals who are obviously pushing back against the narrative that they're a bunch of racists and so forth. What was your personal experience like today? Did you see any of that?
No, man. Listen, we were in a park, and there were good people who came there all for the right reasons. I didn't get a chance to, you know, scour Baraboo. I'm sure there probably are racists in Baraboo, as there are in Madison, as there are in Milwaukee, as there are all over the world. But you can't judge a whole group of people based on one or two people. And so that's my belief. And I respect, you know, I talked to the mayor of Baraboo, felt really good about him, got a good feeling from him and what he's trying to do. So, look, man, I'm going back. And maybe it opens the door for me as an old guy to finally get outside of being a city guy and and experiencing some of the other things that other people across the state experience.
Earl, we're short on time, but you live in a horrible city, I hear.
Well, if the city was so horrible, why is the Republican convention showing up? And why is it that the Democratic convention wanted to be there if it's such a horrible city?
Excellent questions you pose. I have no good answers.
Well,
I'm playing the Dom role.
I can only surmise, Earl, that Donald Trump would say, we don't care about you. We just want your vote.
Look, man, I'm happy that you guys invited me. I got to come here when we have some time.
Well, why don't you come before you go hiking next time? Maybe you'll be on time. We had a whole hour for you,
well,
Earl.
Well, you know, I wasn't driving. So I was at the mercy of someone.
But you were hiking, right?
Yeah, well, I was hiking yesterday.
Okay. I'll let you out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man. We got it out of Earl Ingram, the host of the Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK. We got John Nichols next. Sorry, Earl, got to kick you out.
All right, man.
Thanks, sir. Good to see you, man.
All right. It was good.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Met a girl called Lola and I took her back to my place. Feeling guilty, feeling scared, hidden cameras everywhere. Stop!
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Wednesday edition. Thank you to our most recent guest, the fine one, our friend Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. Listen to him mornings on the 5:40 a.m., 8 to 10 a.m., the Beast of the East. I was listening yesterday. I called that fine show. We got another friend calling us right now live via phone. It's John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times. He's a friend of ours. John, welcome back.
Hey, John.
Hey, it's good to be with you guys. Thank you. Rainy afternoon.
John, I spent two of my last 3 days in the horrible city of Milwaukee.
Oh, man, that must have been rough.
And I spent yesterday morning meeting some MAGA Trumpsters in Racine, Wisconsin. And then Trump came to the stage and he claimed, I love Milwaukee. I was the one who picked Milwaukee. Well, that's not what he was saying earlier, John. And you think that could have been a big mistake for candidate Trump?
I sure do. I mean, look, a couple of things. One, yesterday was great because he said, I love Milwaukee. And then, in moments after he made that announcement, a couple of Chicago TV stations came out with the news that he had already arranged, apparently, to spend the entire convention in Chicago, except for when he would, like, you know, helicopter up to Milwaukee to make a speech or something, then go back to Chicago. So he loves Milwaukee so much he wasn't even going to sleep there. just to be clear about Donald Trump's professions of love. But no, of course it does damage. It's a very, very serious issue. And I'll tell you why. Milwaukee has an immense amount of civic pride. It's rooted in the fact that it's a great city. Plenty of challenges, like most cities have. But the fact of the matter is that if you talk to Milwaukeeans, they're proud of their city. They're proud of you know, what it's accomplished, what it tries to do. And if somebody, even if they complain about some aspect of it, they don't like it if somebody from outside Milwaukee starts trashing on it. And, you know, Trump might have been able to talk his way out of things if it hadn't been for his, you know, gang that couldn't shoot straight political allies. Because, of course, Trump goes to the Republicans in Congress, says Milwaukee, where we're going to have our convention, is a horrible city. And that then gets revealed almost immediately because there's one thing that Republicans do, and that is leak. And then as soon as it's revealed, everybody starts asking the Republican members of Congress from Wisconsin, you know, what's up with that? Like, did you defend Milwaukee? Did you, you know, how'd you respond to that? And of course, Brian Stile, in a triumph of truthfulness, goes, oh, Trump didn't say that. Brian Stile, congressman from Southeast Wisconsin, literally claimed that Trump didn't say it, only to have Derek Van Orden say, oh, yeah, he said it. He was talking about crime. And then Scott Fitzgerald said, oh, yeah, he said it. He was talking about elections. And then the Trump campaign comes out and says, it's a lie made up by liberals. You know, Trump didn't say that. And then Trump does an interview where he says, you know, basically, yeah, I said that, but I was talking about crime. Or maybe I was talking about elections. And then Trump shows up in Racine on his apology tour and pronounces how much he loves Milwaukee, only to have it revealed moments later that he was planning not to sleep in Milwaukee during the convention. You put all the pieces together, right? The defenses actually confirm the statement, right? If it had just been the statement, right, and it leaked that he said that, Trump could have come out and said, look, let's get some context here. I was saying that there are some really tough crime situations there. I was saying there's some things about the elections I don't like. And maybe I was a little – maybe my words weren't exactly right. I love the city of Milwaukee, but I was concerned about this thing. But instead, because his defenders were so determined to lie on his behalf, they ended up creating a situation where they absolutely, again, confirmed the sentiment there that, you know, it certainly looks like Donald Trump was referring to Milwaukee as a horrible city with all sorts of things he doesn't like about it. And that ultimately has an impact politically, because Milwaukee, when it gets ginned up about an election, when it gets excited about an election, and it turns out, it really has a profound impact on Wisconsin. In 2012, when the last time a Democratic president ran for re-election, Barack Obama, Milwaukee was very excited about that election. It was excited about the election of Tammy Baldwin for the Senate. The turnout was very, very strong, much higher than it's been in recent cycles. And the Democrats did really well. They got well over 50% in both their major statewide races, got, you know, did very, very well in legislative races, et cetera. It was very, very beneficial overall to the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. If Trump's hating on Milwaukee has a similar effect this year, i.e. to get people excited about the election, get them energized about the election, more so than they might already be. And admittedly, of course, a lot of people are going to be excited about it, energized anyway. But if it gets more people energized, if you really bump that turnout in a significant way to the level of what you saw in 2012, then you know, Donald Trump may well have contributed mightily to Joe Biden's victory in Wisconsin in 2024.
John, it's interesting. I did interview a number of MAGA, a number of Trump supportive yesterday, and I believe it was a guy named Ted who described himself as living in downtown Milwaukee that said he hated, maybe it was Ron, but one of these Milwaukee guys I talked to.
Ted or Ron, one of those guys.
Said he hated the fact that Trump was trashing on Milwaukee, but then gave some, you know, rationalizations about why it was okay.
Sure.
But ultimately, the convictions, and this was another issue I asked so many of the MAGA about the convictions, and they called it a sham almost universally. I heard a right-wing talk radio host say it was rigged, and then he corrected himself and called it a sham. It's almost like they've got shared vocabulary on this. But, John, here's...
Talking points, my friend.
I didn't feel like, at least amongst those that would go to a Trump rally in Racine on a Tuesday, no one was affected by him really, really saying Milwaukee's a horrible city, John. And quite frankly, they don't even care that they're supporting a 34-time convicted felon.
Well, let's put a couple of pieces together there. How many people do you think who came to the Trump rally in Racine live in the city of Milwaukee?
More than I would have guessed. It was a fairly local crowd. I spoke to a lot of Milwaukeeans and a lot of people from Racine, which was surprising.
But you see, Racine's different than Milwaukee, right? And South Milwaukee is different than Milwaukee. And you know what I mean?
One lady said, Cudahy. My grandkids live in Cudahy, but that ain't Milwaukee.
Very specific. Well,
as the band Couch Flambeau said in their great song title, you must be from Cudahy. And so the bottom line is that people...
Oh, no, we lose you, John?
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal, John Nichols from the Cap Times, from The Nation magazine, joining us via the phone. John, we still got you?
I think John's getting mugged. I think there's an active mugging going on.
We'll have to give John a moment to collect his thoughts. 844-967-2789. John, you there? Are you there, John?
I guess we've lost our fine guest, at least for now. That's
all right. Well, we will monitor, if you would, Rich, keep an eye on John on the line so you can work this out.
I'm less convinced.
I get the fact, and I would think that, yes, I mean, we're talking about, you know, percentages of independent voters that may come out. Maybe they're motivated by the fact that the ex-president, you know, is trashing on this town, and then all of his sycophants are lying about it. I mean, but this is just another day, man. You know, add that to the thing last week and the thing the other day and the thing last month and the 34 felonies and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, it doesn't seem to all these things that Donald Trump has politically withstood doesn't seem to impact him, affect him. Certainly not with his base. So I hope John's right. I hope there is some sort of, you know, consequence, especially in Milwaukee, which could very well, obviously Milwaukee County, Dane County, very, very important in this election cycle, as they have been in previous election cycles. So I just don't know if it's going to be enough to get like some folks out, versus, you know, the people that just give him a pass on everything. There doesn't seem to be a consequence to Donald Trump's actions, not for his base, not for his constituency, certainly.
Well, I'm not sure that insulting Milwaukee doesn't play with the narrative of right-wing talk radio. I mean,
well, sure, right?
Everything wrong with the state of Wisconsin, according to them,
is the same thing that right-wing talk radio has been doing for decades, ripping on the city of Milwaukee.
Well, certainly. But I don't think that in and of itself creates a voter turnout mechanism. And I love John, but I don't know that simply insulting the constituents and the people of the great city of Milwaukee is enough, man. Cubs fans have been coming up to American Family Field for years. That should be enough insult to get them out, right? But no. No, that's not enough insult to get them out, apparently, Dom. 844-967-2789. We'll monitor the phones, see if our fine guest John is able to rejoin us out there in the field. Is that John? Yeah, let's see if we can bring him back on.
All right. Hey, John, welcome back. John Nichols.
Sorry, I don't know where in my brilliant analysis I was lost.
John, from The Nation magazine as well. John, we were talking about it when we had the break here. Your thought that this could potentially have, you know, an electoral impact. And I'd like to think you were right, but I just think of all the things that Donald Trump has said and done over the course of his, you know, business career, his political career, what we know, hell, the things we can assume based on some of the charges, and none of those things really seem to impact him at all.
Well, or do they, right? I'll remind you that Donald Trump was elected president narrowly in the Electoral College and actually lost the popular vote, but he became president in 2016. In 2020, he lost. Lost the Electoral College, lost the popular vote overwhelmingly. You saw the flipping of, I believe, five states that had voted for him in 16. And so things that happen along the way can have an impact. And we're a very closely divided nation, right? And I wouldn't want to be the person who says, yeah, calling Milwaukee horrible is going to define, you know, the 2024 election. There's other things that are going to be real factors here. But the fact is that in so closely divided a country, when you have circumstances like this, it can have an impact. And the one other thing I'll suggest to you is that there, if you look at the polling right now, there's an awful lot of evidence that these criminal convictions are having much more of an impact than people expected.
John, the RNC obviously coming to Milwaukee. I wanted to get your sense of what you think the environment will be like. And I use this in the context that we talked before of the J6. We all knew the Trumpsters were going to Washington. You know, we'll be wild. And it got kind of out of hand. Not a lot of people saw that one coming, John. What's your expectation, you know, looking forward based on our history with some of the mega supporters? What do you think Milwaukee is going to be like during the RNC?
Well, Milwaukee is a good-spirited town, right? And by and large, I think that what you'll see in Milwaukee is some pretty substantial protests. There's a lot of Milwaukeeans who aren't going to be overly thrilled that the RNC is there. And frankly, maybe we'll be even a little more uninspired because of the horrible comment. But, you know, by and large, I think that you're going to just see an energetic moment where a lot of people are protesting, where also some Republicans are down there having a good time, hopefully, down in the Deer District and thereabouts. And, you know, I do think that city officials in Milwaukee want this thing to work. I mean, I think they want it to be a successful convention, not because they're particularly fans of Trump or particularly fans of the Republican Party at this point, but they want it to be a successful convention. And I think there'll be a lot of efforts to, on the part of Milwaukeeans to try and pull that off. The interesting question, the variable, of course, is how the Republicans themselves handle this, right? How much do they embrace Milwaukee? How much do they, you know, show respect for this city? Or do they simply treat it as a place with a bunch of hotel rooms in the state of Wisconsin where they can have a convention where they trash on Milwaukee and trash on cities and send a lot of bad messages? There are a lot of challenges for the Republicans here, and a lot of it comes back to how they present themselves in the city. So far, the evidence from, you know, Trump's visit to Capitol Hill is they're not doing a very good job of it.
John Nichols, I would not be shocked if the entire GOP convention contingency showed up in Cubs hats. Thank you so much, John. We'll catch up soon. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for nasty women everywhere.
Thank you for listening to The Devil Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open for your talk, your texting at 844-967-2789.
Thank you, John Nichols. Sorry about the tech. God doesn't love us today as much as he does on days when...
Making our own commandments, man. What are you doing?
Maybe it's you trashing the man or woman. You know, I'm not here to judge. Dom, we've talked a lot about the big debate, the most important presidential debate watch party of your lifetime. It's going to happen next Thursday night at the Barrymore Theater. Our partners, the Progressive Magazine and the Devil's Advocates, going to throw a little soiree, and you're all invited. It's free. Bring cash for the bar. We'll accept a, you know, a little gratuity or whatever at the door if you're willing to give. But come for the good time. Come for the panel discussion. And come for the rigged debate.
The rigged debate.
Well, Trump is now planning debate rigging rumors.
Yeah, of course he is, man.
I found this one at one of my favorite lefty aggregators, the Raw Story Dom. Former President Donald Trump, I prefer to call him 34-time convicted felon Donald Trump, is already laying the groundwork to complain that the upcoming presidential debate is rigged against him, the New York Times is reporting today. This was evident in what Trump told his followers at his latest campaign rally in Racine, Wisconsin. And Don, we do have a few fact checks, but not really Trump, just fact-checking Trump. We'll get to that in a little bit. Trump told his followers to be suspicious of the whole debate enterprise, although his campaign negotiated the terms of his participation. They should keep in mind, he said that he'll be up against multiple adversaries at once, not just Mr. Biden, but both CNN moderators, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, who, Mr. Trump added, were continually incapable of treating him fairly. It's all about fairness. Trump just wants to be treated fair.
If I may, according to the reporting, Curdy, they say that both Tapper and Bash were constitutionally incapable of treating him fairly. I'll be debating three people instead of one half of a person, he said. I don't know what he means by Dana Bash and Jake Tapper being constitutionally incapable of treating him fairly. I mean, if you had a problem with the moderators, you didn't have to agree to the terms with CNN, man. Well, you could have said, hey, we want our news match. We want right-wing broadcasting. We want Steve Bannon. You know, millions of people don't want him to go to prison because millions of people want to know what Steve Bannon has to say. Maybe you could have proposed that, but you didn't. Your campaign accepted those terms, so why are you already pre-bitching about it?
I'm sorry if I misread constitutionally. It just didn't seem to belong in that sentence.
I know.
Now, because Trump and his supporters spent months portraying Biden as cognitively enfeebled and incapable of managing basic responsibilities, The report said he'd be seen as the loser of the debate if Biden came in forcefully and dispelled the notion.
Well, after doing millions of dollars of cocaine, man, he's going to be bouncing off the walls if you believe what Trump's saying.
The expectations game is a particular challenge for Trump's campaign. Mr. Trump, 78, has spent months casting the 81-year-old Mr. Biden as a husk of a man who can barely walk or formulate complete sentences. Republicans have pumped out a stream of videos of Mr. Biden walking stiffly, some deceptively edited, that are meant to be proof of Mr. Biden's decline. But Mr. Trump is also preparing for his caricature of Mr. Biden to be punctured next week. He's openly wrestled with the obvious question. What if Mr. Biden clears the very low bar that Mr. Trump has now set for him? Don, the debate is scheduled to take place in Atlanta. Some analysts have previously suggested Republicans have been trying to set the stage to legitimize Trump bowing out of the debate altogether. Well, Republicans and Dom giving him excuses why it'd be okay. Because that's their expectation.
Hey, I'm just saying, until the guy shows up and does it, you can't believe anything the guy says or does, man. It's Donald Trump.
It's like a constitutionally rigged debate.
They're constitutionally incapable of being fair to me. What does that even mean, dude?
844-967-2789. I don't know. It was so foreign to my brain, I couldn't even read the word aloud. Mark from the sack, reading aloud is not permitted. Thou shall not read aloud on the Devil's Advocates. Hey, or Mark, do math.
I won't read aloud today, but Donald Trump is constitutionally incapable of telling the truth. Let's put that out there. To use constitutionally in context and using it correctly. Donald Trump may or may not show up to the debate, and Joe Biden's going to be a high hurdler, I think, in this debate. He's going to trounce Donald Trump thoroughly, I believe, that because Donald Trump has a loose connection to reality, and yeah. Reality is what's cooked up in Donald Trump's brain at the moment, because it changes from moment to moment. I mean, the past doesn't even exist for Donald Trump, except, like the Langoliers have eaten the past in Donald Trump's brain. But to make a Stephen King reference there.
You lost me with the Stephen King reference there. I thought he would go more scatological. Trump, Donald, each morning, takes his unconstitutional and truthy socials us.
Happy Father's Day to all the losers and suckers. Listen. Donald Trump will also be exposed to have, in this format, 90 minutes, across the stage, no audience, mic shut off when you're freaking out. I've seen some reporting, well, that's just going to make him yell louder. Well, okay, but then he's going to look even more like the old crazy guy in the park on the soapbox, yelling at the sky. Think of, Bart Simpson's grandfather. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, the Happier Happy Hour, coming up next. Want to play also some evaluation, fact-checking on Donald Trump's visit to Racine. We'll get to that in the happy hour. Plus your calls, 844-967-2789.